Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello, this is Top Stories. I'm Andy Zaltzman, telling you what was the biggest news in the world as exclusively decided by the Bugle podcast at some point in the relatively recent past. Today, we're going back to May 2017. In his early White House days, Donald Trump was channeling his apprentice persona, firing a pretty big player in national security. Anuvab Pal joined me for Bugle issue 4028, entitled You're Fired, A Forced Acquiescence.
Top story this week, Donald Trump, apparently he's a president. He's the president of the United States, which apparently is still a nation. And the head of the Internal Security Agency of the United States, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, had some changes. And apparently, Andy, its leader, James Comey, was fired. It appears, if you remember, Andy, that during the elections, Comey had come out and said he was investigating Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
It turns out that Trump came out and fired him. And indeed, it appears that while he was investigating Hillary Clinton, Trump was investigating him. 8 months down the line, the result is a firing. A firing apparently by a letter handed over from Trump's bodyguard to the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
That is old school.
And I think this is a good thing, Andy. Yeah, it's old school. Like, if you are going to fire the head of the FBI, you better send your bodyguard because, you know, everyone in the FBI is a bodyguard. So I think it's about speaking the right language. So I just wanted to know, Andy, you know, how do you feel about this? Does it have any personal impact on you? Were you indeed being investigated by the comedy division of the FBI?
I'm not sure entirely, although I have been secretly listening to many of Donald Trump's press conferences. I do freely admit that. So maybe they should be investigating me. I mean, it's quite a complicated story, and it's sort of like a box set TV series, in which I've missed a few of the episodes because I've been busy, and I now just cannot keep up with the f***ing plot. It seems almost too clever for its own good, and all kinds of completely unfeasible nonsense seems to be going on. Now, on the Bugle, we have not covered this Trump-Russia story quite as exhaustively as we might, and as a podcast of historical record as we are, we do need now to rectify this oversight. So I'll just give you a quick background to the whole Trump-Russia story. It all began back in 1776 when America declared independence from Britain for reasons that still don't really stack up to this day. This set them on a path to becoming the world's most powerful nation. Eventually, the Russian monarchy was overthrown in 1917. Shortly afterwards, an insurgent movement known as Little Lenin and the Loony Lefties took power. The aftermath of the second of these world wars saw Europe effectively karate chopped in two, like one of Bruce Lee's birthday cakes, with the Soviet Union taking control of the East. Prolonged political standoff punctuated by occasional outbreaks of chess and Rocky IV. But after that, unfortunately, he was then replaced by Mr. Putin, a black belt at megalomania, and someone who apparently has a tattoo of Joseph Stalin looking admiringly at a parade of tanks on the inside of his eyelids to constantly remind him of his life's goals. With American democracy entering its silliest ever phase, the Russians thought it might be a good time to dust off their old pantomime Cold War spy uniforms and get back down to business. So there you go, that brings us pretty much up to date. Sorry if that took a bit long. Rich editing in the Chris chair this week. Just maybe snip a few bits out. Trump has dismissed the probe into him as a charade. The acting FBI director, Andrew McCabe, who's replaced the fired Comey, said it was a highly significant investigation. As always, one imagines the truth lies between the two, albeit as a Trump skeptic, I believe it lies about 1 millimetre away from Mr. McCabe and around about 26,000 miles away from Mr. Trump.
Andy, one of the things, or one of the quotes that came from the administration was that James Comey had committed atrocities. And what I wanted to know from you is, in the great line of global atrocities, you know, in the lineage of Pol Pot, Genghis Khan, the great Mongol marauder, Hoogaloo, and Joseph Stalin, where would you put James Comey?
Well, I mean, he's got to be right up there, surely. I mean, he didn't technically result in the unnecessary deaths of millions and millions of innocent people. But apart from that, it's right up there. In terms of the greatest atrocities ever committed, some would even say it's an almost Bon Jovi level of atrocity.
That is correct, Andy. That is correct. And the administration has done a really good job of being transparent with the American public. And I want to know what you thought of this recent quote from one of the spokespeople, because Sean Spicer, he's apparently gone missing. He's been hiding in a box. He hasn't come out. But his replacement said the other day, which I'm sure will go down as one of the great quotes of all time, up there with things George Washington has said and Adam Smith have said. She said, "Look, if a president fires someone, he fires someone." And I thought, never in the great, you know, annals of human resources has there been a more logical statement. Andy, I just wanted your view on how the human resources side of this was carried out.
Well, I mean, that's there's always, you know, hidden human resources casualties in these things. I mean, Trump, presumably when he took office in January, just thought, now, as president of America, there are effectively 350 million people he can sack. I think that's basically how he sees it, as the boss of America. He's already got through a few. But I imagine by 4 years' time, he'll be just going around primary schools saying, you, you're fired.
Andy, I think you've really figured out, you know, what the Trump agenda is. I think you've really finally figured it out.
Thank you.
For him, I think severance is not 2 months' salary, but literally severing you in the way that a mad dictator would.
Some other notable words said, Trump himself described Comey as being a showboater and a grandstander. A showboater and a grand... from a man who is, to all intents and purposes, an overpriced luxury yacht on display in the seats above the halfway line in a large stadium. Does that quite make sense? Who cares? The world doesn't make sense anymore, and I'm a product of my times. But coming from Trump, and who have surely been called a showboater and a grandstander, is the highest of all possible personal compliments, equivalent to Roger Federer shouting, "That, my friend, is an elegant backhand at you whilst you're playing tennis." And if it is not a compliment, then being accused of being a showboater and a grandstander by Trump is like being slammed by Hannibal Lecter for eating unethically sourced meat. Or it's like Lucy, the Australopithecus afarensis hominin skeleton dated to 3.2 million years ago, giving you stick for being more than averagely dead. Or it's like being taken to task by Mount Vesuvius for having buried too many Roman towns in 79 AD. What is the world coming to, Anuvab? Trump has denied that he intimidated Comey. Someone suggested this, that he intimidated Comey. And he issued a statement stating that the horse's head on Mr. Comey's pillow was, quotes, a traditional American cure for sleep apnea. Apparently, Mr. Trump said, the fumes from the putrefacting nag noggin open the airwaves, quotes, just as effectively as old-school smelling salts or a set of medical forceps plonked up your conker. The president added that a horse head on the pillow is as effective at helping people spring out of bed in the morning as an octuple espresso. You don't need to be Marlon Brando or a rocket scientist, said Mr. Trump, to know that when someone wakes up next to a severed horsey bonce, they tend to sit up rather abruptly and get on with their day.
I think that what you're looking at here is a case of professional rivalry, right?
Yep.
Now, a person who has a bedroom made of gold with gold-plated mirrors under which he sleeps. Now, when he calls a man, a grandstander, I want to now see James Comey's bedroom. I really want to know what's going on there for this architectural rivalry to be going on. I want to know, is there a diamond-studded mannequin of Andrew Jackson that also lights up in neon? I'll give a local example. You know, a lot of people who come to the Taj Mahal in India look at it and they say it's beautiful, it's lovely, there's nothing like it. But some also say it's a bit much. It's a bit much. If you had a residence like that, it would be slightly over the top. Not much, slightly. The president of the United States is the sort of man who said, it's too subtle. So he decided to build one in New Jersey, but make it even more louder and made of gold and jewels. And if the Mughal Empire was alive and around, they would look at that and think, yes, yes, this is what we were really thinking. It took 400 years for it to get built, and they finally realized our vision. But we had the screenplay, he made the film.
But the Taj Mahal was essentially, that was a token of love, and it was basically an elaborate bunch of flowers from a guy to his current squeeze.
That is correct, Andy. And I feel like, I don't know which of Mr. Trump's marriages he was in at the time, but he could have built it for the same purpose.
I think we all know that if Donald Trump builds a Taj Mahal, there is only one person in the relationship that is addressed to, and that is Donald Trump himself. Of course, I mean, it's very hard to know the truth of this story. It may be that it doesn't really come out for decades and decades, but I find it hard to believe Trump. He's not so much the boy who cried wolf as the 70-year-old half-boy, half-cunt who screamed, "Hey, everyone, there's a huge armada of wolves coming," whilst renting a load of drama students to dress up as wolves and bark.
I think you just described Fox News.
It is not easy to take a man at his word whose name looks like someone hastily tried to change the words "don't trust" and only got halfway through it before they were caught red-handed. A man whose every utterance sets off even a sympathetically calibrated bullshit alarm.
That was another Top Story. If you've enjoyed what you've heard on this issue of Top Stories, on any previous issue or any issue of The Bugle, why not come to see The Bugle live? Touring the UK in March, tickets on sale at thebuglepodcast.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.